It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a bipartisan group of lawmakers in Congress have reached a deal to increase support for red flag laws, school safety, and mental health care. We'll talk to a Second Amendment and gun violence expert about the framework and what impact it could have on gun issues here in the United States. First, the new movie Top Gun Maverick is already the highest grossing film of 2022 after just 3 weeks in theaters. With a strong opening weekend for the new Jurassic World movie as well, some people in the film industry think June could be the first month to hit $1 billion in box office sales since before the pandemic. People seem to be getting back out to the theaters, at least right now, and it's happening as some streaming platforms like Netflix are facing financial challenges. You could join in at 800-642-1234. When was the last time you went to the movie theater? Was it 3 years or 3 days ago? What did you see? Do you prefer going to see a movie on the big screen over streaming it at home? Or does it depend on the kind of movie? Are you still holding off on going back to theaters? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Eric Hoyt is the Call Family Professor of Media Production and a Professor of Film, Media, and Cultural Studies at UW-Madison. Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here.
Right, before we get into the movie business, you saw Top Gun Maverick. What did you think?
Oh, I loved it. I had a great time going to see Top Gun Maverick and going to see it at the movies. Seeing it on the Ultra screen over at the Marcus Point Theater on the West Side, close to my house. great visuals, great sound. And they did a great job, I think, within the movie, finding an emotional center, kind of embedding like something of kind of a heist movie type plot. Like it's almost like a heist that they're trying to pull off with their F-18s. So I think it's an extremely well executed blockbuster. I had a great time.
Well, and the movie industry is trying to pull off a comeback after a couple of years where, you know, there were no movies at theaters, then very sort of limited attendance. Top Gun Maverick comes after Spider-Man No Way Home, The Batman. Now we've got Jurassic World. Is this a trend? Are we seeing people going back, at least for the blockbusters?
Yeah, I mean, I think the trend of making blockbusters based on pre-branded materials certainly goes back well before the pandemic. And all those movies you just brought up fit that pattern perfectly, right? Taking comic book franchises, other franchises like the Jurassic Park series that have been a hit, and the people are familiar with. And Top Gun Maverick itself had that pre-awareness going for it. You know, people remember and many love the original Top Gun. So, you know, I'm sure the industry is very happy with the grosses that this is making for them. I have no doubt they'll continue to make those kinds of franchise-oriented movies. I also hope, though, they take note of the success of Everything Everywhere All at Once, an independent film made by the Daniels starring Michelle Yeoh and Stephanie Hsu, that has been a big hit, at least, you know, playing, not just playing actually in art theaters, playing in multiplexes. I checked the grosses on that, and it's now up to $82 million in U.S. box office. And I do want to call that out on the radio because I, like I said, really enjoyed going to see Top Gun, but I also think it's sad for our movie landscape if we only get the sequels and reboots and new iterations of the franchises. And so I hope that the people who greenlight movies can also pay attention to Everything Everywhere All at Once and take chances on telling those kinds of new stories with new casts.
Even pre-pandemic, as you say, these established franchises were a big deal. A lot hung on those blockbusters. Are we close to normal now compared with pre-pandemic for all the other stuff to the extent that people are going to see the non-blockbusters at a movie theater?
It's an interesting question. You know, I think the pandemic really accelerated a lot of things that were already happening in the industry. And there's a film scholar based at the University of Georgia, Kate Fortmuller, who wrote a book on pandemic Hollywood, where that was kind of one of her central claims and arguments. And I do think it makes a lot of sense to think about that. Again, thinking of the pandemic as an accelerant. So streaming was already on the rise before the pandemic. That turn toward placing big bets on the pre-established franchise brands. That was on the rise too. And during the pandemic, we saw the windows, in other words, the amount of time between movies playing in the theater and going on streaming, collapse in some cases to 0 days, going simultaneously, day and date. Warner Brothers famously and controversially did this for its films in 2021. I really appreciated it as a parent of young kids who were not vaccinated to be able to stay home and watch the new Matrix and Dune. But there is something very special about the theatrical experience. Those movies did play theatrically. But I think Warner Brothers, in hindsight, also feels like they left some money on the table. You know, you can make a tremendous amount of money very quickly if you can motivate people, you know, tens of millions of people to all go to movie theaters and pay $10 to $12 to see a movie. It's very difficult to try to raise that much revenue in such a quick period of time just by selling subscriptions. So the industry is clearly trying to have it both ways, to be able to have viable, successful streaming businesses and keep open a theatrical marketplace that gives people kind of rich cinematic experiences and social experiences that we want when we leave the house. And so I think both will coexist. I think if there's a concern, it's what I brought up earlier, which is what space is left for new voices, for new types of stories to break through. And, you know, in some cases, I think we have to look beyond the United States for that. And so I'll give a shout out here to the Wisconsin Film Festival, which takes place in Madison every spring. And it's just a wonderful time and event to be able to take in movies made from around the world, including the United States, also watching old movies made decades ago. And these are all films that will not be at the multiplex, but that do merit our attention.
We're talking to UW-Madison film and media professor Eric Hoyt about the movie industry's bounce back, at least for now, at the box office, with some high-profile blockbusters getting people out to the theaters again. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been to a movie theater lately? Did you see a Top Gun Maverick or the new Jurassic World movie, or are you planning to, or one of the big superhero movies or something else? Or are you 100% streaming now when it comes to movies, new or old, or somewhere in between? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Eric Hoyt, UW-Madison professor of film, media, and cultural studies, looking at the return of the movie blockbuster that people actually go to a theater to see, Jurassic World Dominion, one of them, Top Gun Maverick, and others. You can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Want to hear your theater story. Are you going back to watch movies? What have you gone out to see lately, if so? Are you staying home to watch movies? What are you watching there? Do you have particular kinds of movies that you gotta see, but only on the big screen? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Eric, you mentioned some big theaters or some big movie companies bringing their movies to streaming, you know, closer to the release date in theaters than they used to. Some convergence here. It sounds like Netflix, you know, when they produce original movies, may actually release some not just on their streaming platform, but in theaters. What are you watching for there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a complicated landscape in that the exhibitors, movie theater owners, as we may understand, are quite defensive when it comes to streaming movies on the same day that they open. And so Netflix original movies have not played as widely in theaters, in part because the movie theater owners have said no, that if you want to open, you know, the Irishman, let's say, if you go back to that Scorsese movie or Roma, Netflix has made some really great movies over the years, than you know, the AMCs and Regals and the top chains will not play them. That's my understanding of how some of those dynamics have gone. But you know, is there an appetite for seeing movies either at streaming or in the theater? Yes, of course. And you know, that's not brand new either. You know, growing up, probably many of us listening to the radio saw movies in the theaters and watched them on TV, sometimes late at night when they would broadcast, and then rented them on VHS and DVD and watched them there too. So all of these things can coexist, but it doesn't mean that there aren't conflicts and tensions between those different players within the industry over it.
We heard from Jessica on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jessica says, "Everything Everywhere All at Once was fantastic. I loved how different it was compared to everything else that seems to have come out lately." Backing on what you were saying, Eric, some people do want that counter programming. This isn't an established franchise kind of movie.
Yes, right on, Jessica. It was such a breath of fresh air. You know, great action and visual effects, and centering an Asian American cast in a way that few other movies, especially that take the both dramatic and kind of action approach that it does do. So I'm with you, Jessica.
Thanks for that, Jessica. We'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Leo is with us in Milton. Leo, hi.
Hey there. I just wanted to comment, like, I'm a big fan of Star Wars, and I've seen that with that, like, series after COVID hit, a lot of, like, the releases have been more like the shows and less like standalone movies. And I thought that was just kind of an interesting way that series has, like, adapted.
Interesting, Leo. Thanks a lot for that. Yeah, the Star Wars movie franchise, more and more TV show franchises coming out of it. Does this mean something, Eric?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think that particular franchise, you're right, Leo, has its own very specific history. My understanding is Disney has been disappointed with the way that the movie franchise has played out over the last, you know, 5-6 years. And they've put far more attention, you're right, Leo, into those shows. The latest one is the Obi-Wan Kenobi show that's on Disney Plus. So if the movies were doing the kind of business that Disney's Marvel movies did, you know, like Avengers Endgame becoming one of the highest grossing movies of all time, then you would be seeing much more Star Wars in the multiplex. To me, it feels like Disney is kind of still trying to figure out what to do with theatrical movies from Star Wars. And they're you know, putting their foot on the gas full throttle for television, which is ironic, of course, because it all started with a movie in 1977.
Thanks a lot for that call, Leo, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Eric Hoyt, UW-Madison Professor of Film, Media, and Cultural Studies, talking about maybe the return of the blockbuster, some movies doing big business, people going to theaters to see them. We heard from David on the Ideas Network Facebook page, who says, "Haven't been to a movie theater in decades." And that's, I think, got to be a worry for movie theater owners. COVID even. Some people just moved away from the movie experience. Home entertainment systems getting better and better over the years. There's some people who are maybe out of reach for the theaters now.
Yeah, well, we want you back, David. you know, going to the movies in the summer with a bucket of popcorn and a cold drink is a great experience. But there's lots of things that compete for our time. And, you know, it's not just TV and streaming and video games. It's all kinds of other leisure time experiences when we even have the benefit of leisure. So there's a lot competing for our time. And the movie industry would love to have you back, David. And there's probably people sitting in a room right now trying to think about, yeah, how to reach you and what it would take to make you come back.
Now, something I wonder a lot about, Eric, not being a filmmaker in any way, shape, or form myself. If I'm making a movie with the intention of people watching it on a big screen, does that make it a different movie than if I'm coming in thinking you're going to be watching this on your TV at home? Is that the same movie?
Oh, that's such an interesting question, Rob. I mean, I think most filmmakers do aspire to have their work seen, you know, as widely as possible, let's say. And some may also know, okay, well, this is my audience and the audience I really want to reach. From a stylistic standpoint, yeah, I could see how that would change your perspective and approach in terms of how you're framing things and even like composing a shot. If you're thinking that someone might see it on a giant IMAX screen or you know, huge screen compared to an iPad. Most filmmakers today, though, I think know that they need to create works that can be experienced across a variety of different formats. And the theatrical experience can give us something that's, you know, very powerful that a smaller screen can't. And in some ways, I think that's not even just about the screen size. It's also about that feeling of kind of concentration and, you know, letting go of some things, not checking your email on your phone incessantly or pausing to go to the door or something like that. So I think that's also part of what a lot of people value with the theatrical experience.
In our last minute or so, Eric, are there particular movies coming to a theater near us that you are looking forward to?
Ooh, thanks for that question. I'm excited to see Nope. That's the new Jordan Peele horror movie that's coming out later this summer. I think that looks really good. And I'm also excited for the programming that's going to be starting up soon at the UW Cinematheque. Here on the UW-Madison campus, there's going to be a retrospective of films from the late director Peter Bogdanovich. There's going to be a Jackie Chan double feature. And there's going to be some great programming coming down the pike later this fall, too, from the Cinematheque. And I'll also just make a plug for seeing old movies at your local Cinematheque, your local movie theater. So I've already gotten my tickets to see Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. 40th anniversary screening coming up around Labor Day.
Eric, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Eric Hoyt is the Kahl Family Professor of Media Production and Professor of Film, Media, and Cultural Studies at UW-Madison. He joined us today to look at the box office success of some recent blockbusters like Top Gun Maverick and Jurassic World Dominion, what it all means for the film industry. Still time for you to share your thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Graduation season is in full swing across Wisconsin, and we asked graduates of all ages about their visions for the future. Today, we share the hopes of some elementary, middle, and high school grads.
My name is Adelia Luna. I am 14 years old, and I go to Toki Middle School, and I'm graduating 8th grade. I'm excited to be in a new learning environment because I just want to figure out what I'm into because I don't really know what I like to do yet. So I just want to go everywhere and see what I'm able to do. My hopes for the world is the world will be a lot happier, safer, and clean. It's very dirty. Racism still exists, and it needs to be dealt with. And also climate change, women's rights. I feel like the world is already protesting about many things. So hopefully by the time I'm done with all the school I have, the world is a lot better than it is now.
My name is Junior Moreno, and I'm 22 years old. My education, it means a lot to me. I've been incarcerated for about 6 years, so before I released to the community, I really wanted to get it done. And even though I had all this time, I wanted to do something positive. As time has passed, I got older, and I matured a lot, and I actually wanted to do something than to just sit around and go home and didn't accomplish anything. I could take my education to the next level and participate in some type of college courses when I do come home. As of right now, we only get school Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And a lot of times it'd be a lot of short staff, so we could barely even go to school. So sometimes we'll get it twice or once or none. So you just never know what to expect as far as school. And that'll make you really want to give up because you can't study and you got to sit there in your room and just teach yourself. And it's really hard because I done tried to give up a lot of times. And Ms. Davis done talked to me a lot, and she just told me keep going and keep going. And because of her, I finished.
Hello, my name is Simone, and I'm 10 years old. I'm a part of the LGBTQ community. I am pansexual and non-binary. I am going to middle school next year. I'm quite known for my sketching skills. I'm best at drawing the human body. I'm not very good at drawing hands and feet and stuff like that, but I just put really long sleeves on them. I can draw faces, a little bit of hair, and a pretty good torso and like a little bit of legs. I hope COVID will stop. And I hope world peace and global warming to end and not that much littering. Or robots will rule the world.
My name is Gordon Allen. I'm a 12th grader here at Madison East. I'm graduating sometime in early June, and I plan to attend Stanford University. When I was young, I wanted to be mayor, actually. Of course, right? Currently, though, I plan to work in finance for a while and then ultimately run for Congress. I found out I got into Stanford here at school. I was on my way to period 6 or 7, and I got the email notification. That first email said, "I'll check the portal because you have an application update." So I logged in. You shouldn't do this in the middle of a hallway, but I did anyway. And it said, "Congratulations, you was matched with Stanford University with a Crestview scholarship." And like, you know, I just stopped there in the middle of the hallway, and I was in shock. I mean, have you seen their acceptance rate? And then after that, I went to my 7th period teacher and told her about it. And then I just spent the rest of the day just telling as many people as I could. I do worry, like, what if I like California too much and I don't want to come back?
WPR congratulates all of the state's graduates. Tomorrow we'll hear from some of the state's college grads. You can read more about the people we spoke with at WPR.org. Coming up after the news, a gun law expert joins the show for a look at a new bipartisan deal in the U.S. Senate aimed at reducing gun violence after 2 high-profile mass shootings in New York and Texas. We'll find out what's on the table, the prospects for it to pass. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.